What's up, everybody? We're talking Monique calling Oprah fake and a lot more on Black Hollywood Lives this week.
Say what?
You are tuned in to Black Hollywood Live this week.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Black Hollywood Lives this week. I'm feeling very islandy today. Jamaican. Yay.
Shout out to Sean Paul, who has stayed dropping hit after hit after hit.
Stay dropping the hits.
Every year.
I'm Daryl Christian. Joining me today is Courtney Stewart.
What's up, y'all?
And DJ Jesse J.
What's up?
We got a lot of fun topics today. I see Courtney's wearing her scarf because it's a little chilly in LA.
I'm cold as hell.
It's so chilly in LA,
so
and it's supposed to rain.
And it's raining tomorrow, so yeah.
I'm happy about that, though. I want to just sit by the fireplace.
I was supposed to, like, I went away. I was at home in Atlanta, came back. It was hot in Atlanta, so I thought coming back, by the time I get back, it would warm back up. Mm-hmm. It ain't warmed up.
It got colder.
It got colder. It definitely got colder.
But I feel a little funny saying that it's cold in LA because I feel. Yeah.
Oh, no, it's cold.
It's definitely cold at night.
It's cold at night.
I mean, 39 degrees is cold.
That's cold.
That's cold.
Okay. Yeah. It's cold.
It's cold.
It's cold. That's real cold.
I like
it,
though.
Just talking smack.
Well, and you enjoy it.
I mean, I would if I was skinny and I was like not trying to lose weight, and then I wouldn't have to get up
so
and go to the gym. But like when I'm laying up in my bed and I'm supposed to be at the gym or hiking at 7 in the morning, I look at the weather and it's 38 degrees. I'm like.
And wet outside.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't want to do that.
It's wet and moist outside.
That's nasty.
All right, moist.
That's real nasty.
See, your mind goes there. All right, what you got for us, DJ Jesse J?
All right, so Black History Month has come to an end, but, you know, we're always keeping it pushing and whatnot. So Spotify and Instagram were really cool, put together this list. They kind of wanted to put some data together about the hashtag Black Girl Magic. They put a playlist together that you actually can listen to some of the top artists streamed in Black Girl Magic are Beyonce, SZA, Kehlani, Nicki Minaj, Janelle Monáe, Alicia Keys, Lizzo, India Arie, and some of the top places in which that Black Girl Magic is hashtagged is New York, Los Angeles, Atlanta, London, Washington D.C., Chicago, Houston, Philly. And et cetera. I don't know if you guys have been paying attention to some of the music lately, but Black artists are really coming out. They've really kind of taken over what we're calling pop music for the most part. What do you guys have to think about that? Because I'm going to get into Diddy, because Diddy feels a little differently. Diddy feels like hip-hop culture and R&B culture have been diluted.
Mm. I mean, okay, well, before we even get into the Diddy, as far as, like, Black artists becoming more popish, I mean, Black artists, pop is based off of Black artists initially, so we've always been
in the pop. We just weren't necessarily accepted as the faces of
the
pop.
The faces of pop, exactly.
But the music was always rooted in what Black musicians were already doing.
Exactly.
It's not a surprise.
We can do it all.
We can do anything.
But I've never really used Spotify before. More of an iTunes kind of guy. So make sure you guys check out some of the playlists that they do have for Black History Month for the Black Girl Magic. But Diddy came out to say that he feels that hip-hop specifically has been diluted. He feels like everyone out here is trying to be a rapper. Everyone out here is trying to... they all have the same message and whatnot, and he feels that as artists, you need to step up and create your own lane. He feels like that hip-hop artists aren't being individual. They aren't creating their own sound. What do you guys think about that?
Well, there's two things to this. You know, Diddy is one of my favorite people, favorite artists. You know, the Bad Boy era is my jam. I still got it in my playlist all the time. But I found it very interesting that he made this statement. There's two reasons to this. Mm-hmm. First one being, he's part of the reason that hip-hop and R&B and pop have been diluted. I mean, let's talk about the times of him having these lavish parties in the Hamptons where he had Donna Karan, Tommy Hilfiger, Jay-Z, and Old Dirty Bastard at the same place with Lil' Kim and her titty out. So, you know, I found it interesting that he thinks it's diluted. And the second thing is the fact that, like, you know, he is one of the people who've influenced this so much, so I'm surprised that he's criticizing this so much.
I mean, yeah, I kind of see that. I feel like it, I think he used the wrong word. I don't think diluted is what is happening, and maybe not even what he meant. I feel like the lines are blurred now in ways that maybe they weren't before. And that's just because popular music has become hip-hop, and hip-hop is now pop music in a way that it never was before. Like, it was a little bit... Like, when he first was sort of coming into his own, he came up in an era that... Which is funny, because you're right, he totally mixed it up, because it was sort of its own... Hip-hop was its own thing. Rap was a thing, like, over here. And then the Diddy era kind of blended and mixed and used pop and made... He was part
he
of making...
pop beats.
Yeah, but he was like, sort of responsible for making hip-hop into pop music mm-hmm. for... to be consumed by the masses. And a lot of... And that was a lot of what people would talk smack about when he was, you know, at his height with everybody he worked with. It was... You know, it was not necessarily considered, like, the hardcore beyond Biggie. Like, once Biggie passed, sure. and he started, like, you know, doing all the other things that he was doing with Mace and everything like that. Like, it became, that became what pop music, sort of the next step of pop music. And then we kind of, now we, it's all.
I mean, what's
rap?
Pop?
I don't even know what's rap. Like, what's
what,
for
the
real, for real?
Between pop and rap? I mean, you know? you got the
you got
same
Drake kind of singing.
You got Amigos.
I just feel like we're actually in a really good place musically. I think we're in a place where anyone can do anything. And I think that he's listening to the radio. But you're also somebody who puts people on the radio.
But does he put people on radio now? Like,
yeah, he has the power to. Fox 4, you know what I mean? But my thing is, I don't even listen to the radio.
But are his artists, because, you know, I just feel like he...
Like, no, I don't.
I feel like he messed up his artists a little bit, because he becomes the artist, even though he's producing these other artists.
Well, he's got French Montana right now, so that's working.
I mean, that's true.
I just feel like listening to Spotify, I'm actually surprised by that Spotify list, because I feel like there's so many dope artists. The fact that you could put, actually, I'll give this, that Beyonce and someone like Kehlani are in the same exact list, that's dope to me. I think that if you just search for it, it's there. I think we're oversaturated with the same sound because we like to play it safe as a commercial world. But if you search for it, it's there. I find some really dope artists, and you guys can check us out every Wednesday at 2 p.m. The Beat.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I appreciate what you're saying, but it's also like in the sense of I'm not mad at the merging of pop within the R&B sound, because, you know, we fought for many years to have, you know, Jay-Z nominated for a Grammy or for, you know, a music award, because he was never really put into a category per se, and now we have that. Like, now he can be in the pop category, but he can be in the hip hop category. You know, it's all, you know, who else? Like, there's so many people now that just kind of merge into different lanes. Yeah. Kendrick Lamar could be in a pop category, but he could be in a hip hop category. You know, and we're not going to talk about Kanye. You know, so I think it's, I agree with you. I think that the way music is now, it is definitely a good. Evolution, but the only problem that I have with it is that now everything just kind of sounds the same to me. To me, when we had different categories before, at least you kind of had, like, R&B had a sound, you know, hip, you know,
like Cardi B and Bruno Mars shouldn't be in the
same category. Right, you know, and theoretically, you know, as far as the sound. And I feel like now there's just no, I mean, it just, everything sounds and kind of merges the same.
Everything's blurred.
You got Nick Jonas, who sounds like he could be Usher or, you know, Chris Brown, you know, same track. When Nick Jonas first came out with his track, I thought it was somebody else.
It wasn't him. I didn't think it was him.
Or the dude from One Direction. His track, I straight up thought it was Chris Brown.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, I guess that can also be said. Like, that's how beautiful the world has become, that we all, because now people have so much more access to all of it, actually. Like, you're not just hearing this because this is what that radio station in your neighborhood or your small town plays. Like, you can go online and go to Spotify and hear all this stuff and continue to be influenced all the way. It's not as hard to seek out other sounds as it is, so now it's all kind of in everybody's ear and it's all just blending into whatever mixed up, whatever it is. So maybe the fact that we all keep hearing the same sounds over and over again is only proof of how we've blended and bonded as people.
Yeah, okay, that was very politically correct. I was waiting for like the Kodak smile family. With the cheese at the end of your smile.
We are all I one family. Right. That's what it is.
I imagine Diddy though. You the man. So.
Whatever. You the four and the star of the four or whoever won the four, are they going to come out with something
Evie,
worth
and
it?
And she going to be popping.
I saw a little interview with her. She's dope as I don't know what. Mm-hmm. She's killing it. You need to have her on the beat.
How did that work? Is she like managed by somebody? Like, what's the rule now? Like, what do you win? You won.
Do they make any money? Like, you know how American Idol they got the
you get a record deal.
But is it a good record deal? That's what I want to know.
Probably not.
Epic Records. I mean, it's pretty epic.
Yeah, but that isn't just because you're signed with a
it's a good company. It's not going to be a good deal. It's not going to be a good deal.
Well, it's the same people as like Nicki Minaj are signed under, and like I mean, there's some big names there.
It's not about it. Just meaning like whether or not the return will actually happen.
That's what I'm talking about.
Here's what I really think is going to happen. I think that they're going to push. I think three of the four finalists are going to actually be put out there. I think the homegirl with the little dreads is going to put something out there. She'll probably have the bigger single, and then people will be like, okay, she's a gimmick. I think Evie will have a fan base because she is a genuine performer. I can't express to you how much I disliked the show working on it and fell in love with it as I watched it because you actually started seeing certain performers like her, and she would come on stage, and it was fire.
What was like, your favorite thing working on a show?
That, the just battle. Like, seeing the battles live was so incredible. Like, it was annoying because it would take hours and hours, and, like, the judges just talk, and they don't even use half the shit that they say. But these battles, we would be running down. If you guys know Tiana from Black Hollywood Live, we would be running down like, ooh, did you hear that? Did you see that? This one's going to win. No, that one's going to win. Like, you get into it. So I will give them that with the show. They really did something different with those battles.
Hmm. So when they come back for the second season, should it be live for real?
Yes.
I think it should.
And I feel like, you know, I mean, after you test out a season, now everyone's got the groove of it. Let's go live.
Is anyone excited that American Idol is coming back?
No.
No. With their hand up? A little bit.
I am. You know, that used to be my jam. None of the promo.
But no, because, like, what are you excited about? Katy Perry? Like,
no, I don't care
about
the judges. I just like to see the backstories, the people who mess up stuff.
But you're not even really going to get, they don't want to put the mess up people, like, on the auditions and all of that.
Yeah,
the
they did. They
the
did.
Beginning.
They did at the beginning. You know,
they
started
said they're
to.
Not going to do that very much.
Oh, well,
I mean, is it on yet?
No.
Is it back in March?
I'm just like, Katy Perry and Lionel Richie together. Judges.
I mean, I don't care about the judges. That's
but the judges are what, like, entertain you
no,
for
they're
the show.
Not really, I mean, yes, you're right. But it's also really the people who mess up. If they're taking out the element of people, the mess ups and the craziness.
Yeah, they
that
didn't
do,
want the auditions where people, like how we got William Hung or whatever his
yeah,
name was.
They don't want
like,
that
they don't want that.
Oh, well, then I don't know.
They said they're not doing that.
Because all the other shows are more of a positive. Like,
yeah, so they want to be positive. Yeah. And who
William
wants
Hung
that?
Was positive. He made a lot of money off that quick record.
He actually did put an album out.
He did. He was on my plane one time and he was in first class. I was like,
I think if grown folks want to make food themselves on TV, why should we be
it's
mad?
It's entertaining.
You know what I'm saying? If I'm entertained.
I won't be
watching. Although they probably won't have the same comedy as like the Simon Cowells who used to be just, I mean, he used to say
no,
some raw
and
stuff.
And like Katy Perry, like, I can't.
Yeah, I'm already bored. I'm already snoring.
I used to really love her.
No, me too.
And I don't
actually,
know what happened.
Okay,
you know
so
what
here's
it
the thing.
It was a Super Bowl performance. No, I'm just playing.
Well, I wasn't even that mad at the Super Bowl performance. I was still kind of like, okay, girl.
It was this new album.
I didn't just, even, I don't know nothing off the new album.
No, me either. But it was just like the whole going into the album was just weird. It was like, okay.
Everything
girl,
was weird.
Who are you? Why is your hair so short?
And why like, you look like Miley Cyrus?
I just wish you put the pink wig back on and be done with it.
Yeah.
Whatever. Anyway, so we're going to move on to more interesting topics. And this is more Black Girl Magic in the news. So apparently NASCAR has been coming up quite a bit recently because Black folks is infiltrating everything, including NASCAR. So there is a wonderful woman by the name of Melissa Harville LeBron. She is a single mom of seven, and she actually decided one time she was going to take her sons to a NASCAR event in her area, and like she kind of wanted to like discourage them from wanting to be drivers and reckless and all of that. And in fact, what it did was incite them to want to be that even more. So as she kind of like started doing a little research because her kids were super interested in NASCAR and all of that. She realized that representation was almost non-existent for black and brown people. So she decided to create the E2 Northeast Motorsports under her already established entertainment company, WM Stone Enterprises. And E2 became the first multicultural team to race competitively in NASCAR with four black and Latino drivers, her sons Eric and Nico being among the four. And on February 16th, E2 celebrated another milestone when the team competed in its first official race in the Camping World Truck Series at Daytona with Scott Stenzel, who apparently is like a superstar in the sport. I know nothing about NASCAR, so I can't help you. But so Scott Stenzel basically is a star in the sport, and he joined their team. And when HuffPost asked her kind of like what she wants from her team and like what she wants to, where she wants to go from here, she said, quote, she wants to create a billion-dollar team, becoming the most influential woman in motorsports. She wants to open other opportunities for other women, do lectures of empowerment, give testimonials, pay her blessings forward at every opportunity, and she would like to write a book. Mm. So she has opened up NASCAR for the black and brown people. And also, at the same time, like this story comes out, also a story came out about Brianna Daniels, who's 24 years old, and she just, I believe, 2 weeks ago, is the first African-American woman pit crew member that NASCAR has ever had. And she was doing one of the races, and she ended up, she was supposed to only do one, but then she got called back to do a second one. And everybody's like all shocked, looking around, like, where does the black girl come from? And how is she? She changes tires on wow. the pit crew. And apparently they go through some yeah. intense training to change tires.
I would imagine
like
so.
It's intense.
I mean, that's do or die.
Yeah, you know she mean? Was a driver. She was a college athlete and ended up not wanting to play overseas or something. And like this opportunity came up because NASCAR had a diversity initiative, and she kind of signed up for it and just happened upon this. And she loves it, and she's apparently super amazing at it because she beat out thousands and thousands of people for it. So, shout out to Brianna Daniels and Miss LeBron because y'all doing it in NASCAR, and who knew? Like. Wow. I don't know. I don't know anything about it. Do you know anything about it?
I've been to NASCAR one time, and it was many years ago. I mean, I'm going to say it's like 6 years ago. And it was actually, you know, I'm not into it because I just find it kind of boring to just sit and watch cars
go in a circle.
Keep going in circles until, unfortunately, I hate to say this, but someone gets into like some kind of accident, which sucks.
Then you're like,
but
whoa.
When I went, I think it's one of those things like golf to me. When I go and watch it live, I can appreciate it a lot more. It's not as boring to me. Because you're feeling, you got a couple beers, you're looking at all this, you're looking at the people, the excitement, you feel the energy. Where you just watching on TV, it's kind of like, all right.
But that's with every sport to me. Like, I just can't.
No, I can watch the NBA and NFL. And,
I'll be there right there with a hot dog and some chicken wings.
I think it's French fries. I mean, I can watch other sports on TV, but there's still always that element when you're in the arena and it's live that is. The energy is just better. You're more excited.
Well, yeah. Kudos to her, though, because that's really a game changer. First of all, for two parts, being black, first of all, and then a woman.
And a woman.
I'm going to put the woman thing first.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's a game changer, because there's already, what's the black, the guy from London?
I know who you're talking about, but I can't remember his name.
Okay. Well, yeah, he's already a driver, but... or is it a driver? Not a driver.
Is he a driver?
Is that called a driver? I don't know. I could be wrong.
Once again, I know nothing about NASCAR.
I don't watch. That's the only one I don't watch is NASCAR that much. But to say all that to say, kudos to her because that's a game changer.
Just raising the profile and making people see, like just like the Brianna girl who is now the tire changer. She's like, I didn't know nothing about NASCAR. Like that's just not something that's a part of my like awareness and the very fact that I could.
We need to know more about girls like that, though. That's who the black girl magic should be looking at. You know what I mean? Don't get me wrong. We know about executives and women who are producers and directors, but we need to be
continuing to learn.
Showing those
girls
women
up
well.
These,
girls doing all these like, positions. Like, because exactly. I would definitely be one of those people that's like, white men and like definitely white men.
Sure. Yeah.
Like, that's it.
Absolutely.
And look at
She don't look like she changed tires.
She's that's not the tire changer. LeBron, the owner of the link. But yeah. So anyway, congratulations and kudos to both of those women. Keep it up. All right. So we haven't talked about this because we weren't here. So the shooting in Florida on Valentine's Day at the school in Parkland, Florida has obviously ignited gun debate all over again for probably like the 900th millionth time in this country. And one of the recent propositions of Cheetos in Charge is that we should arm the teachers in schools, and that will, help potentially protect our students in the schools. Because for those of you that don't know, after this shooting happened, the students in Parkland, like, really, they marched. They went to their state government, like, y'all have to do something. And then there's all kind of hard, I'm not even going to bring up how the ridiculousness about the people saying that those were actors and those weren't actually the students that were harmed by this shooting and tragically traumatized. But anyway, so the students were doing their thing and they are taking action. And they actually were helped by George Clooney and I forget the other guy. They were just reporting, like, how, like, helping get them organized and figure out some things, like, they were doing it behind the scenes. So, shout out to those kids and keep marching. But basically, so right now.
And what was the school that was in, where the kids were, they weren't allowing the kids to, they all left. They left the school and then they weren't allowing the kids to, like, get back to school on the buses or go home on the buses after they, it was a story that was out this week.
It was a bunch
of kids who actually rebelled against the whole system, and they said that they walked out of school basically to fight this whole thing.
I mean, I know that they were planning to, like, try to do, like, a nationwide thing on 420 to protest the fact that Congress has done nothing about the gun situation in schools. So there was rumor that that was, like, going to be a thing that all the secondary schools in the country were on social media trying to, like, work out, like, we're going to do a walkout on 420. So I don't know if that's going to happen. But anyway, that being said, the kids are stepping up and Cheetos in Charge stepped up and said, we should arm these teachers. And that way the kids, there's guns there for them to be protected against the guns that are coming into the school with the shooters. So everybody's up in arms and has their own opinions and what's going on. But HuffPost and YouGov did a poll on how people really feel about this idea of giving teachers guns. And obviously there's some stark differences between various sides and various groups of people. Obviously the biggest difference is between Republicans and Democrats. Like 70% of Republicans say they support the idea of arming teachers, which I was astonished that it was that high. And only 20% of Democrats think that is a good idea. But then when you go back to just, you know, regular people that have kids in school or don't have kids in school, 45% of respondents who identify as white expressed at least some support for arming teachers with firearms, while only about 30% of non-white respondents think it's possibly a good idea. 50% of people of color said they somewhat or strongly opposed arming teachers, while 44% of white respondents said that. So it's not too big of a difference. But basically, respondents who identify not just as non-white, but specifically as Black, that's the largest percentage that's obviously against giving teachers guns. And then there was an incident that happened in Dalton, Georgia, that a teacher had a gun in the classroom. And then so social media went wild again. Like, well, see, this is what happens when a teacher has a gun in a classroom, because the teacher was, like, barricaded in the room. And I think it ended up that they talked him down and he wasn't actually trying to harm the students. He was trying to harm himself. But people use that as, like, see, and we want to put guns in the schools. That's a better, brilliant idea. So anyway, what y'all think? Y'all want guns in the schools with the teachers in the hands?
I don't think the teachers should have a gun. I think teachers are there to teach. I would not be opposed to there being a security person, a military-esque person or trained background in the school. At all schools, there should be maybe one. I remember, because I go to my school that I was in, there was no security. Like, there was, like, the one cop that would show up and, like, walk the school. Like, if anyone really wanted to just walk up in there and do something, they could have.
Yeah.
So I'm not opposed to there being somebody there with a weapon, it scares the crap. I remember after 9/11 going to New York and being down at, like, the South Seaport and just being at the mall, and you just see these military guys with, like, these rifles on their backs, and it's just like, I'm trying to shop. Like, this is overwhelming. So I don't want to be in school and, like, you're seeing, like, this militant person walking down the hallway, but to know that there is someone there protecting. I do not believe that we should put that responsibility on the teachers. I think that is crazy, actually. But to have some sort of security established in every school, it kind of makes sense to me.
I mean, I agree with you there. My first initial thought used to be to say, let's put some more metal detectors in schools, back in the old, you know, back in the day when they were doing that. But then on the flip side, that only stops certain things, and that's probably, and it's expensive to put in schools. So I agree with you. I think they should have some type of security. Now, I don't agree with a teacher having a gun per se, because here's the thing. I just feel like we're in a state of panic right now, and I would hate for like a student to challenge a teacher and get shot off of something that is not as serious, or the seriousness of this, of like what happened in Florida. And I don't want to put that responsibility on a teacher if I had a child that was in that school. For sure not. But I would say security, or someone there, you know, who is a police officer or something like that. Sure, that's fine with me. You're not feeling it, Courtney.
You know, it's so funny because I did a show about this probably 6 or 7 years ago, and we talked about school violence and, you know, what to do. Do we put guns in the schools? More security guards? More of this? And now here we are, 7 or so years later, and still, we're having an even more intense discussion, and it's going even further in the direction of violence. And I just, like, on the surface, I would say, yes, maybe more security guards in the school is a good idea. But in, like, that's in the short game. But what is the long game of that? For me, and I feel like we never address the long game when it comes to violence and violence with children in our community, because it's only growing and it's getting worse. And we've done nothing to sort of figure out, like, what's going on. And if we have all this money to hire security guards in the schools, but somehow we don't have enough money to pay our teachers well, pay enough guidance counselors, sure, that they're not one guidance counselor per 500 children, so that maybe, you know, issues with kids is noticed much sooner than it is, right, now, that we don't have facilities for kids that are troubled to go to and figure things out because somehow we have no money. But all of a sudden we have all this money to put Glocks in people's hands. Like, I just don't understand. Like, it makes no sense to me. And I obviously I don't have the answers, but I do have family that works in the school system. And the idea that my mom in retirement will volunteer, like, do substitute teaching. My mama does not need a gun, like, right, and will not. She said, I certainly will not, and she will leave. But it's sad to me that that's the place and that's where the conversation is. And it feels like the conversation is still in this very small arena and not really addressing. We have to figure out why over the last, like, 20 years,
I mean, Columbine was 1999.
So we should have learned. It's been 20 years. Yeah. Like, it's been 20 years, and it's getting worse. And I think that says something about our culture. And I think it's something that we are not even we're not even kind of trying to address. And I think we maybe, I don't know if we ever did the story here, but how there was a proposition, I believe, from the CDC to actually study gun violence and violence in general in our culture,
right,
as a disease.
Yeah.
Idea that, like, nobody thought that deserved funding baffles me. Like, I just don't understand, because something has snapped. Something's not right. And it's not just, thank God. I mean, I appreciate Walmart. I appreciate Dick's Sporting Goods for taking the guns that they did take off the shelves.
I was going to mention that. I think that's really dope.
Yeah, I think it's great. And I'm glad they've increased the age of getting a gun.
Walmart's involved now. They just raised the minimum age for
raised it to 21. And Dick's did the same thing.
So that's first. Big.
That's great. I appreciate, like, trying to be a responsible CEO. It's not just about making money. I get it. But on the same note, we just had Las Vegas happen a few months ago, and that man was not a child shooter.
No.
So something's broken, and we have to.
But we're not going to be able to solve all the cases, though. What happened in Vegas, how would you even stop that? You know what I mean?
But that's what the argument is about the type of weapons that people have access to.
Okay,
it's like, your guns, but if you got a 9, that's not the same as an AR-15. Like, it's going to take much longer to get rid. Like, you want to minimize the collateral damage, you know, as best as you can, because you can't obviously get every person and catch every child that having it. That's impossible. But if that kid only has access to a 9mm gun, he's only got however many bullets are in that chamber, as opposed to a whole freaking, what do you call them, that they pop it up in there, where there's like hundreds of bullets that can be sprayed at, you know, 15 seconds.
Yeah.
So I'm not somebody that's like, oh my God, we have to ban the guns. I believe in guns. Like, I actually like guns, and I like shooting guns.
Do you own a gun?
I don't own a gun. A friend of mine really was trying to press me to own a gun.
I could see you with a gun.
But Can
you see Courtney with a gun?
I like shooting guns.
I bet you do.
I enjoy it. But I also understand that my like for that is not more important than what's happening in our country and to children and kids going to school with the idea that they have to walk around and, like you said, like see military people. Like, that's not something that I want our generations to grow up in. Like,
how
I don't,
do you feel
and
about
we need
a
to
gun?
Fix that.
If you had a child, how do you feel about having a gun in the house with you?
I was in the house with guns and children.
I was too.
Yeah.
I
mean, not in my childhood. That was Jesus protected us. So, that was my parents. My parents didn't believe in that.
Right.
But I obviously, in my previous relationship, he was former military and he had many guns. And I could tell you some crazy stories that made me like, oh my God, like, I gotta do what? But at the same time, he had a daughter in the house and she was young, but she knew that there were guns in the house and that there was nothing to do. And he had handprint cases and all that kind of stuff that take your fingerprints to open and that kind of stuff. So he was very safe about it. But so whatever. That being said, that's why I believe people deserve to have their guns. But at the same time, I think we need to look at the long game and figure out what the hell is wrong with everybody and why we shooting everybody.
Amen.
Well, listen, we're going to move on from this story, but the Republicans are still, out of all the things that they need to fight, they are still not trying to fight the part of the gun part, taking guns away.
Of course not, because the NRA is a multi-million dollar contributor to all of their campaigns.
Until we get them out, this
problem is not
going to
happen.
Gonna,
honey, we ain't
going
to ban no guns. They ain't going to ban no guns.
We can talk about it all day long.
But I do say, like, the kids walking out and the support of adults to those kids will change something.
Sure, I believe that.
So keep doing it.
Keep doing it.
I'm pessimistic about Congress,
every little bit counts.
You got to do it. You know keep what I mean? Doing it because it's wild.
That's right. All right, we're going to move on to our EUR Web Story Spotlight of the Week. Or not without
music. We don't have sound effects. We put Anthony.
There you go, Anthony. Anthony was so into the story that he didn't even hear the music.
He was
right?
Like, what?
All right, well, somebody who may want a gun.
He was like, it's not for me to go home. Y'all
somebody,
talk too much.
Somebody who may want a gun real soon is Monique, because she back in the press again.
Oh, Mo.
This time she messing with my girl, though. She messing with Oprah Winfrey. She was recently in the news talking about Oprah and saying that Oprah was fake. She called Oprah fake via Twitter. So basically what they're saying is that Oprah had spoken to the Global Grind about not responding negatively in direction to some comments that Monique had made.
Mm-hmm.
And Monique wrote, you know, Monique kind of like went in a little bit, you know, because she was talking about how she, you know, we all know that she was upset with Oprah a little bit, her and Tyler Perry, because she felt like she was blacklisted. So Monique put on her page, my love, she put this to a Oprah fan, fake gold shines too, but it doesn't change the fact that it will turn your neck green. At Oprah, you keep shining.
Oh.
Now, if that ain't shade, I don't know what shade is.
Oh.
Dang.
I don't know what shade is.
Oprah's like...
like,
but here's the thing.
On her Montecito ranch, like,
Oprah doesn't
girl,
really need to say too much.
No, wait, Oprah should not ever even address it.
As she hasn't.
She
what do you guys feel about her calling it Oprah fake? Let's start there.
I mean, I don't think we're ever going to really know the details to what is going on, because when you look at numbers, especially with like the Netflix deals in which Monique was talking about, and you look at it on a bigger scale of things, I can understand why somebody could be mad. Everyone ain't got your back, Monique. Like, you know this. You know what industry this is. Especially those that are of an older generation where they've been playing the game. That's all they know is how to play the game. They look out for themselves and they help those who have been the poles to keep them lifted. If you wasn't that and you weren't there, girl, like, you mad and barking up the wrong tree, like...
But, okay, but here's my question.
It's too much bitterness for too long.
How do you... She keeps... I just feel like she... Do you think that this is just all publicity to keep her name in the news and maybe leverage some bigger deal for her? Because you're... You know, I kind of feel like it's black-on-black crime.
No,
now you attack
I feel like she's really genuinely upset.
I think she's still hurt.
Yeah.
Like, still very, very hurt. And she's bitter as F. And doesn't think that her, like, it's one of those things, because you want to, like, give somebody the, because people have been stifled often, especially in situations like this when the more powerful are doing whatever and then you struggle. But there's so much venom that comes out, like, your message is lost, period.
Yeah.
So even if you think that Oprah is super fake, the way you express that in terms of maintaining your career and your own integrity is not to be so venomous, like, because it's not received.
Because now you're going to receive the interview with Ayanla, not Oprah.
You ain't even getting that at this point.
Well, you definitely not going to get that because that's on own.
No,
you're not getting that.
That's not going to happen.
You may get Wendy Williams.
Yeah, but like nobody wants to hear it. And it's not even just because, don't get me wrong, like I can look sideways at Oprah. I'm sure Oprah got some shark type ways, okay?
You don't because get successful you don't get, and make that much
you
money
don't get
without
that
having
far
ways.
Without that's having shark ways.
Or upsetting somebody.
You know what I'm saying?
Or
upsetting
process.
Somebody. But that's like, it's not even a game at this point. That's just life. Like, because Oprah got to live her life and make her successes how that's going to work. And Monique, you were not lining up with that because you was running your mouth. Because in the end, you was running your mouth. Like, and you have every right to, and we can
absolutely
support you in it. But you can't be mad that people turn their back on you and you out there running your mouth, and they're going to continue to turn their back on you. So I just wish she would just shut up and just let her art speak. Like, just do your work. Like, Monique is great at what
she
does.
Unbelievable.
And she's a brilliant actor. But you just messing that up. Girl, go on, make your stuff. Do your stand-up. Go on the circuit. Do whatever. Like, you need to shut up.
Well, my thing is prove your numbers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You've talked all this smack, and then I'm going to call it smack, and you talked all this shit, throwing shade at everybody, but if that's the case, let your numbers be your existence, because at the end of the day,
your
Oprah,
best revenge is your paper.
It's your paper, and Oprah got the numbers, and this leads right into the next story with Tiffany Haddish, because we've been talking about Monique and her Netflix deal, how she only got $500,000, and she's been upset about that, and now Tiffany has signed a new deal with Netflix, which I find funny, they're not putting the exact amount that she signed.
They're putting rumors.
They're putting rumors that it's a multi-million dollar deal.
No, I heard it was $800,000.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Really?
Yeah.
I heard multi-million dollar deal.
I heard $800,000, and that probably sounds about right.
Yeah,
I think she'll get a million.
No, I saw Monique
but
was offered.
But it's not a special. It's a series.
Yeah, what Tiffany was offered and who was the other one? Wanda Sykes was offered for Netflix. And none of them had hit $1 million.
Yeah. And there, and then what?
And
again,
Amy Schumer's was $12 million.
Yeah,
or something like
but
that.
But what Tiffany's doing is not. She's not doing a comedy
special
either,
right,
by herself.
Right.
She's doing a series where she's like a voice of an animated series or something. So it's not. Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's millions. It's probably.
Well, the funny thing is there are fans. Monique does have fans because there are people out there who are trying to defend her in this process. As I mentioned, there's no alleged real word on what the exact amount is, which I'm sure we'll find out soon. But there was a fan that tweeted at Tiffany Haddish, got $1 million deal at Netflix at the level of Amy Schumer. It's because of at Mo Worldwide stood up, and it's obviously protecting Mo or Monique. And Tiffany responded, already got a deal, boo. And I signed it way before she did. And you know, it's not legend money, but it's enough to take care of my family for a man. And I ain't mad at you for that, you know. And Monique actually went
responded.
She congratulated Tiffany. She said, you've done nothing wrong, my sister. You keep shining. I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Go ahead. Congratulations.
Go ahead. But see,
well, you got to congratulate
her. You have to congratulate her. And in the end, nobody really is faulting Monique for being like, how they just gonna offer me $500,000? Like, that was bullshit. Like, for
Monique
the most part.
Is a legendary comedian.
She's a legendary comedian, and I think she probably deserves at least $1 million. I mean, at least $1 million. But that's not my decision to make. It's not my company to run, whatever. So, fine, you didn't get the offer that you felt like you deserved, but how you go about sharing that information, and because the core of what you're saying really is important. Black women are definitely lowballed.
Absolutely.
And we won't know that until you come out, because who would have known Wanda Sykes only got offered $250,000 had Monique never said anything? Like, that's definitely information that we should have and we deserve to have. But then you go to bringing back up Tyler and Oprah, and why are you mad at the world? Like, then you muddy
you
the waters, and you lose your message is lost in your mess.
And my thing is, as we've talked about, I think when we first brought up this subject, is leverage that for your back end deal. Then, you know, don't,
because
the thing is like, you're talking all this smack, but then no one's respecting you, so you're not going to get the money that you want anyway. Because now you're really going to be blackballed. I feel like, you know, I'm not saying don't speak up, but I'm just saying the way that you're going about it, to me,
she could have run a whole special about Netflix
that
shading her
exactly,
and put it on
Netflix.
Netflix. They probably wouldn't have okayed it. Or put it anywhere. Wherever. Like, put it out on the internet and blow up again so that people that don't know how tight you are know again and are like, wait, where am I?
Pull a Kathy Griffin. Be that person.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
Good luck.
Monique,
I'm sure we're not
going to
hear the end of
we want
Monique.
You back.
We love
I
you,
do.
Monique.
I love
you were
come
so
on,
great,
Black,
Ms. Parker.
You were.
Yeah, talk to us.
Yeah, but speaking of blowing up, our girl Retta is really blowing up. We know her from Parks and Recreation on NBC.
Parks
she's
and
got
Rec
a new show.
And Girlfriend's Guide.
And Girlfriend's Guide. She's got a new show, Good Girls on NBC, that premiered last week, I believe, on Monday nights at 10 p.m.
Week?
It was last week. I hung out with her at a little luncheon she had, and she's super cool, and she's really excited about this show. So we got a little clip about this, because we got to support Retta. We got to support our sisters who are leads in these big shows. Let's check out this clip.
Okay, everyone's going to school. Brush your teeth. Wipe her face. Pants.
They gotta work late.
Who knew so many people bought cars on a Friday night?
Hey, you got plans later?
My church is having a bring a friend night.
I'm just not really much of a church person.
You're definitely a stuck-up bitch.
She can barely make it through the school day right now.
Here.
We can't.
Carla?
There's this new drug that just got approved. Oh, my God, can you please just listen to me for one damn minute?
The drug you're talking about is 10 grand a month out of pocket.
Why do we have hardly anything in our accounts?
I made a few bad decisions at work.
Oh, honey, what can we do?
Nancy and I are suing you for custody.
Seriously.
My husband and I work all the time. The transplant lists can take months.
So when do you want to do this?
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a robbery! I better get a manager up here right now or I will start capping people and I'm not even joking, mother!
Hey, Deadpool, you wanna...
At my old job, we got robbed all the time.
So that's a little clip right there.
The dumb ones do.
Good girls.
So, you know, what I like about this, too, is that Retta's showing her dramatic roles, you know, her, you know, that she's got it.
She's
you know what
mom.
I mean?
She's
versatile.
Take care of her baby.
She can do comedy. She got a little drama.
I love
check
it
out. You know, support the sister.
I
you know,
will.
It comes on
I
Monday
thought it was
nights
coming out
NBC.
This week, so I will have to go back on my YouTube TV.
Yes, so it's someone. A great show, and, you know, we look forward to seeing more from her, and she's going to come on Black Hollywood Live soon, too, as well.
Yay!
So, all right, Jesse had to run to the restroom, so we're gonna close
so
out the show without him.
Let's
get 100. Courtney, where can fans find you?
Oh, you can find me everywhere at Stuart Starlet, like always.
You can find me at Dario Christian on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and also on Reels channel for Broken Famous, the show. I just had an episode, a new episode that just appeared, so check me out there talking all stuff about celebrities who have financial woes.
Oh.
And we're going to go out with a little Sean Paul, get a little Jamaican reggae on right now. And everybody have a great weekend and the Oscars
Watch
weekend.
Watch the Oscars,
Watch
guys.
Watch the Oscars, see what happens.
See who wins.
We'll see y'all next week. Peace!
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Christian, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagram at King XO Bay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood redefined.